Welcome to episode 181 of the Better With Running podcast. My name's Chris Armstrong. I'm a Run to PB coach. And as always, look, I'm joined by the real star of the show, fellow Run to PB coach, Zachary Newman. How's things, mate?
Good, mate. I think someone's hacked your notes there. That's I don't think you usually be going with that line, mate. But I'll take it. I'll definitely take it. Thanks, Chris. So, how are you, mate?
Yeah, I'm good. I'm good. And for the record, you did write the intro to the show this week.
Yeah.
I'm just the one who reads it. So,
Got to pretend like it's a made up one, or pretend that someone's playing around with us.
been working on this all day. This is the best I could
Yeah.
come up with. So, but no, I'm good. I'm good. I'm looking forward. I've got a race on Friday, mate. So,
I
looking forward.
know. I was looking at what we're going to chat about tonight, and we've got a jam-packed show, but we're going to do a quick round the grounds on our sessions, what's been happening with our running, especially you, going into that race. So we're keen to hear about that race week, get a bit of a feel for maybe your race plan. You might let us in on that. And I reckon you're going to reveal the shoes. You're going to be shoes or spikes, I should say. We're going to go and give us the maybe give us a sock combo as well. But and we've got a special guest. We have Lachlan Bromley joining us late a little bit later, so that's going to be exciting. Lachlan's coming in from Reload Physio. We're going to talk about the partnership we've got with Reload, and we're going to just hear a lot about Lachlan's journey as a physio and what he's doing in Australia. He's done a bit overseas, so we're going to hear about that. He is Kate Avery's husband, so there's a bit of a tie there. So we'll maybe throw a couple of sneaky questions in there about how our married life's treating him as newlyweds.
No, looking forward to that. Very well-credentialed physio, well-traveled, and has been some places, seen some things. So looking forward to hearing all about that very shortly.
And mate, before we just dive into your week, just a little follow-up. There was a few people came into our DMs, sent us a few messages. A few athletes talked about our chat around with Elise last week around the use of mate and boss and chief and all the rest of it. And where was I believe one of our athletes, friend of the show, one of your athletes, I should say, one of the Run to PB athletes, but you're an athlete you coach. Had a bit of an encounter that had left him maybe wondering what the integration.
Well, I mean, firstly, I mean, just goes to show that the podcast is having an impact nowadays. I got to Shep Runners Club training on Thursday and got champed by Chris Nicholson, like straight off the bat. So I was just hoping that he'd listen, that he hadn't just all of a sudden established a bit of power over me after being on the podcast the previous week. But Ryan Cook, Rhino, he was worried that he had a bit of a champ moment himself. So Ryan did his session on Tuesday down around Centennial Park there in Sydney, and in the session there, 20-ish year old, sort of younger, fairly fit looking young fella. Had New South Wales half tights on, so liked having the rep gear out. And Ryan was doing the last 1 minute rep of his session, and just leaned over and casually said, "Good going, bro." And Ryan, it really stumped Ryan because he's like, "Well, hang on, he's a real fit, fast looking kid. He's got his rep gear on." And he was just questioning himself whether that was like, bro, was the young fella's version of champ, and whether Ryan had been champed. But anyway, that got him through the rest of the session, and he's cooled down, and he did have a bit of a giggle about it. So it's good to know that Ryan's listening, but we're sorry for any conflicts that that may have also caused, because otherwise he wouldn't have given it a second thought. But yeah.
It was it's funny because now I do think when I'm talking to someone, if I'm going to drop in, the context or I guess the tone you use when you're saying a couple of these words, and you gotta be careful. But a funny email interaction happened. I think it was the day after. Maybe it was maybe the day after release. Maybe it was Friday. We had a new A new athlete come on board for you, Chriso, requesting your services. As we do, we usually send, we pass on the email, the sign up, and I happen to be sending that through to you, and I copied in Brady, as Brady helps with you in the background with your athlete management, and I said, here you go, boss, here's a new sign up. You responded straight away, thanks, Chief. And Brady, which blew our mind because he's a big podcast superstar of Australia. We thought sometimes we get a listen from him, but not always. And he responded straight away and said, thanks, legends. And he knew, and he had heard the segment, and he was pretty chuffed with it, actually. Didn't even defend himself around the legends chat. I think he just actually genuinely thinks everyone is a legend.
As I said, he's just super friendly, and the bar for legend status is really low, and I think that's really good. That's a good thing. It's a very positive thing. He's just out there making the community a better place, but I must admit, when that hit the inbox, I did cackle. I just thought, oh man, he's trumped us both. He's literally just come in with a perfect time and come in over the top of us and essentially put us both in our place at the same time.
You should have seen him down at Albert Park, and I'll get to briefly to the Road to Osaka session that we were pumping the tires up of, and it went down on Sunday. But Brady, absolute superstar in his element there. He had Prada sunglasses on. Like,
no, I don't believe that. There's
a video going around, and I think they're cheap Bali knockoffs or something. But he did sort of motion that maybe Lululemon X Prada X Brady Threlfall collab could be dropping. But mate, talk about a rock star. He was. It was just people getting his autograph, patting him on the back, chatting to him. Just couldn't get near him. I don't reckon. I think I got two words out of him. He was absolutely swamped.
Mate,
he's a man of the people.
Just out there pressing the flesh, spreading the good word. Looked $1 million, must be said too.
I reckon he's sort of the Paul Reason of Mo Amer, the way he's getting around. This figure he's got. Yeah, I think he's going to get a bat tat. Maybe he'll go full bat sleeve or on the quad or something. But, that'll get him up towards Paul Reason status.
No, Brady's a very humble man, and just he can't help the popularity that he has. I mean, he's an ambassador of many brands, and he does have superstar status amongst the community there in the Chukamoama. So, I can only imagine the hype and the vibe at Albert Park on Sunday. Just there's a lot of fans of Inside Running there. It's keen for a look and also to participate. So, no, I've seen some of the footage. There was a nice little video, a bit of a hype video post-session that I saw that caught my eye. So, which I love. It's the fact that running's out there. And as I've touched on, I think the last couple of weeks, running is actually really cool now. So it's, it's quite surreal seeing, like, it's one of your mates that you've known for a long time, and all of a sudden he's this cult figure in the running community. So, it's cool.
Yeah, it was quite fun watching Moose interact with him. Moose is trying to do a serious session, and Brady's got everyone coming up, patting him on the back and chatting. And yeah, I warmed up with Moose a bit, and he was just like, yeah, I mean, he was in the zone. So it was interesting. It was Brady was off the front chatting away, and it was good fun. Hey, let's go to you though, mate. 74 Ks last week. I see a session of, a bit of a mixed bag, this one, actually.
So this is one that I did about a month ago. I'm in that gap between Christmas and New Year. So it's three sets, 1,200 at threshold effort and a minute jog recovery, 700 metres at 3K, 2 minute jog recovery, and then 300 meters at 1500 meter effort, which I honestly don't know what that genuinely feels like. It's just, I'll just run hard. And then you've got 400 meters to jog to recover from that. And it's the 1200, I think, is really just an extension of the warm up, because by the time you've done 700 at 3K into 300 at 1500 effort, you're blowing and you're genuinely keen for any sort of recovery that you can get. So
Yeah.
yeah, three sets of this end up being around 9.7K, and took me
Jesus.
around 38 minutes. So on the surface, you look at it and think, oh yeah, it's not sort of one of your faster sessions, but the harder work for me is pretty intense. Like you look at it and you're doing a tick over 2K at 3K effort, and you're doing 900 at 1500 effort, and yeah, it definitely zaps the legs. The 1200 threshold becomes a welcome relief. You look forward to that. So yeah, but it went really well. I think probably,
Got to be switched on mentally for that session.
yeah, got to be ready to work. I think like you've got to be quite disciplined in the threshold at the start, especially when that's when you're freshest in that first 1200 threshy. So you can't make a rod for your own back and go and sort of hit that around 10K effort and then hope that these 3K and 1500s are going to be good. Like with these, Andy wants to see three distinct changes of gear
Yeah,
with
that's the
them.
thing. You can't just drift off, and you've got to make that concerted effort in those changes.
And you don't want to see the 300 essentially being at the same pace as the 700 either. Like there's got to be another gear shift again. So yeah, you do have to, I guess, be on the ball, but also respect your recovery as well. And I think it went well. Once again, I don't like you're not going to sit there and look at the numbers and go, wow, that's flashy. It's just another good solid session. But what I noticed was, and maybe it was just because I was a little tired around sort of that Christmas New Year period, but and eating a lot of junk, I'll put my hand up and say, yeah, I probably didn't eat that well, but the efforts were all at the same pace, but I was recovering a lot better. So on average, the chunks of recovery that I had were probably a good 20 seconds a K quicker, but it just felt like I was doing it really easy. But there was literally almost no change in the effort. So I think threshold was around 340, 700s at around 320, and the 300s were around 310. So yeah, for me, tick, changed the gears, pulled up pretty well, and then yeah, managed to, in the long run, was just easy. When I say just easy K's, was no kick downs or anything like that. 21K, a tick under 5 minutes a K. Like we kept it really cruisy. So yeah, and then bit of extra rest this week. I did my session on a Monday, which was only, I want to say only, it was a half a session, three by a K and a couple of 300s. Gave the new shoes a bit of a test, which was fun.
Sunday, sorry, Max, Sunday shake.
Yeah, just went out and rolled 5K. So normally that'd be 10 to 12K, but once the long run was done, pretty much went into taper mode. So yeah, just a 5K run. Sort of went out a little bit later, but went. Oh, actually, it was funny. I did my drills and walked for about 10 minutes just to get to a point where I could do a 5K loop. So, was really rare, ready to go and run for 25 minutes. But yeah, that's all Sunday was. It was just a little bit of a turn my legs over and keep things moving.
So frenzy this weekend. So you're down back country, you got a 5K C race going off at 7:30. Do you know much about that field? Because have you got some people in it potentially could drive a train with, or how you
Couple of
doing?
familiar faces. So
Hard to know their form, I guess, at this time of year.
yeah, I know Charles Jacobson's in the same race
Oh, cool.
and Nick McDermott as well. So a couple of past guests,
Nice.
which is really
Might
good.
bring the mic,
Yeah, I'll pop a few questions to the
mate.
team whilst we're going around. But look, whilst I guess I have aspirations to run a time and all that, I'm actually going in with pretty low expectations on myself for this one in regards to, like, conscious that over the last little while, every time I've gone out with a time goal, I've pretty much run at a pace to try and hit that. And it's not the way that I don't do very well for whatever reason when I try and do that. So, I guess I'll follow. I think back to when the 3K races went well late last year, and that was kind of, look, the first job is to really settle into that first lap and not get out too hard and just make sure you feel good and then try and pick it up from there. So that's kind of what I'm going to focus on. I'd like, and looking at the field, envisage that I'm being in the C race. Last year I was in the B, and I knew full well that within 200 meters I would have been spat out the back, and you're just hoping that people were going to blow up so you'd have someone to run with. Whereas this one, I recognize some of the names from a couple of years ago, so I think the pace range is probably, in that sort of 16:45 through to about 19 minutes. So I should find something in the midfield where I can
Yeah.
kind of settle and hopefully
Even if
work
you
with a
get them for
few
a few
people.
laps, and you can lock in and like racing and just getting in that zone where you don't even look at the watch, you're just going. And I think if you think back to all your PBs, were you actually going for a set time when you ran that PB?
No, not really. So it's,
Same for me. I look back and I'm like, every time I've looked at a target and said, I want to break this time. I want to run an X. Never happens, but every time I've raced, I've just got in the race, gone with a pace, didn't even know what I was going at. Like I just in the zone of, and you finish and you're like, well, I've run a PB here. And yeah, it's really hard to just lock in and just say, I'm going to go and chase times. And maybe if you do it three or four times in a row, like if you set up 5K and you go, okay, I'm going to run 18 minutes or something, and then you have a few goes, you got a pacer, maybe you can do it that way. But I think actually getting into races is where you're gonna, because you got to adjust on the fly and things just aren't going smoothly. And people in that pack can be feeling good at some point, and you don't, if you're just governed by their pace, then yeah, it's yeah, it's fraught with danger.
Yeah, no, and that's it. I think I'm sort of, I also looking ahead at the weather. I suspect it's going to be pretty windy over there on Friday night. So
Yeah.
I suppose I look at it from last year and go, well, last year it was 33, 34 degrees. When the race come around, it was disgustingly hot.
Yeah.
And the goal essentially was, well, yeah, all right, on talent and fitness, these people are streets ahead, but it doesn't mean you can't run a smart race and run, the smartest race out of everyone, regardless of ability. So I think that's probably something that whilst I think I'll be in the main pack or, closer to midfield where I won't get lapped with a bit of luck. Yeah, I just want to, I want to go and run a smart race. I want to start sensibly and I want to be able to work into it. I think where I've run good 3Ks in the past, oh, sorry, good 5Ks, I've gotten to 3K feeling really good and then being able to, I guess, turn the speed on a little bit over the last 2K. I think that's how I tend to race better when I can come through the field rather than getting out and then going to 3K going, oh, I'm feeling it. I've just got to hold on. And I know 5K is meant to be hard. Like it's going to hurt. But I race better when I start out a little bit conservative and then push on from there. So we'll see how that goes. I'm looking forward to it. Get to put the Alphafly 3s on the track, which will be an interesting experience. I wore them on Monday and it's hard to describe them without sounding like I've just stepped into the hype machine because I'm
Yeah.
very conscious that I'm an excitable person at times and I can over exaggerate things. So I'm trying to be calm, but I can honestly say when I started to do some strides in the first part of this session, like these are the fastest shoes that I've put on. And I'm not saying that everyone else will have the same experience, but I equate it to, so you think, Zachary, when you first put on your very first pair of super shoes, whatever they happen to be, and straight away you notice the difference between what you'd been wearing and what you'd just put on, you're like, wow, they feel different. There's something about these. I had that experience on Monday when I put these on, in that these don't feel like the twos. Like for me, they feel like a Vaporfly, but with more foam, but it's firmer. People that have worn the Alpha 2s and the Vaporflies, I think they have a very soft, bouncy feel. The 3s, and like where you hit the AirPod, it feels like a big fat cushion when you hit it,
Well,
and it makes a loud noise. Whereas in the 3s, it makes a bit of a squeak, which Elise touched on, but there's like this real firm piece that runs, it's about, it feels like it's a centimeter wide underneath the midfoot, and you hit that and it just sort of bounces you forward. It's almost, it's a stiffer foam, I feel. And look, the foam is probably exactly the same, but just the way it's built, it just feels like a stiffer, more like the more effort you put in, the more bounce it gives. So yeah, I was impressed. Now I could feel completely different Friday if things go to shit. But
Oh yeah,
yeah.
you'll blame the shoes.
Oh, 100%. It's the shoes' fault if I run poorly. So but yeah, like I put these on and I just noticed, like I hadn't noticed, it just feels like there's been a progression in the technology. I also noticed like people that have worn Alphafly 2s and have reported, you know, that pushing or rubbing sensation in your midfoot that you
They fixed
sometimes
that up,
get.
haven't they?
For me, this was completely gone in the threes, which was the biggest relief. So look, maybe it was just that, but big fan, looking forward to wearing them Friday. They're not shoes that are going to do the work for me, so they're not, I'm not going to go out on a limb and say that all of a sudden I'm going to break, I'm not going to run like low 16s or anything ridiculous, but I'm really excited to have the opportunity to wear them in a race and just see what happens. So yeah, good times.
I like it, mate. No, I think it's a good move, and it's this will just this will be a good test for where you've done some pretty good stuff, like some pretty different stuff with Andy, I reckon, in this little block. Like, tapped into a few different areas that's going to bring you forward. So I think this is going to be interesting to, and look, the classic or the standard cliche that we probably both roll out with our athletes is that how much racing brings you forward.
Yeah, exactly. And that's what I'm looking forward to. We're going to go and have a race and actually get to race against people of similar ability, which is really exciting. And yeah, like it. That's the thing I like about the track. It's kind of like it's close combat. You're in there and you've
It
got to be
is.
on your toes and you've got to concentrate. So we're, you know, obviously a road race is a lot different where you sort of you settle and you're out on your own a lot more. So no, I'm just looking forward to it. I mean, yeah, these sorts of things don't come around every day. So yeah, it'll be a nice opportunity.
Like it, mate. We've got a guest about to arrive. I'll just quickly touch on. We spoke a little bit about
Asanka at
the
Albert
feel,
Park.
the vibe down at Road to Osaka. Obviously, you had the big dogs in town. You had a number of people that so listeners of Inside Running Podcast, Running Community. We obviously put it out through our channels. We had a couple of run to PB athletes. I know. Well, obviously, Elise was out there, our coach, as well as one of our athletes, Georgia, so that was cool. And then there was a few floating around. There was a main session going off that a bunch of people did that was 8K, 6K, 4 and 2K, but there was not everyone, the 50 odd, 60 odd people that were there, maybe 20 or 30 actually going to Osaka. The rest were there just to get a hit out, enjoy the atmosphere. And Elise, obviously, she had a different one. She had 25K at marathon pace, which is a bloody hard session, and ticked it off. You'll obviously get it on next week to chat about it. But I was setting up early. I was sort of helping Tommy. I was a bit out of sync doing also an early start for me. Like a 6:40. What did we want? There was a bottle drop at 6:30. Pretty much we warmed up at 6:45, but I was there from 6. We were setting up and getting things going. And then I think I was, when you do sessions and like obviously in marathon loads, I'm probably more switched on and doing a Sunday workout. But I think I got through the week and I was like, oh, I'm sort of feel like my Sunday run, but it was session day. But I did start. I was just planning to do 25 minutes, similar to that strong run, just get out pretty. I wanted to get out a bit more solid. I did for the first K, and then I was like, nah, this is actually too, I've gone out, I'm going out too hard. It was 3:29. I was like, I don't need to be running this fast. Early got into a little pack and cruised to, I think, 3:40s, and then felt pretty solid in those sort of 4 to 7K. We're just sitting in that 337, 335 range, which is about the sweet spot for me at going for that far. And then knowing that I was going to, I said to Elise earlier, I said, I'll do, you know, 7-odd K and then I'll jump in and try to, don't know if I provide much wind assistance, but at least get on the front and do some work. And I met her half, obviously I had a bit of recovery and then jumped on and did that with Jono, who Elise had, one of her friends had kindly recruited to do the pretty much, I think Jono did maybe 50, or he might have done close to 20K. Elise did her last lap. She had a last ditch effort to me because I was well and truly finished. My legs were absolutely shot because I'd stopped. And as she got her drink, she said, oh, you want to just jump in for one lap? And I just had nothing. I was like, no chance. I'm on my third Calippo here, so you can go. But she got it done, and, yeah, it was pretty cool. But, yeah, so my workout wasn't anything too flash, just kind of routed out the week. I'd hit a pretty good one on the Tuesday. I'd hit the 4x6s. And, yeah, and then even this week I was just tired from, I think, pretty busy with work and everything. So I've just been jogging. I pushed the session. I wasn't going to session Tuesday after that Sunday. I just think I'll sort of load up the back end of this week. And yeah, body's just a bit tired. I think it's just, I needed a bit of a down period. So I think this is it.
Yeah.
And I'll get going again. Yeah, good fun morning out there. Good to see everyone. Like, just pretty inspiring to see people, like multiple groups, just getting after a session at the same time. And you see the difference, the warm up. We run sort of a little bit now, like there was wear tests, people trying shoes on, but there was still a bit, little sense of like, oh, I've got a big workout here. So it's a little bit of like that nerves. And then once they're finished, everyone's absolutely buzzing. And yeah, we had some Eskies full of some Nippies chocolate milk, mate, some Powerade, some Calippos. I reckon we had 60 Calippos there. Yeah, it was good fun, very good fun. We'll obviously, there'll be some more of this happening through the year, I think.
Might have just started something. You know, parkrun started out like this, obviously not with quite same sort of, I guess, hype in terms of how spoilt everything was for people. But imagine this, just every Sunday down at the lake, getting lakeside, ripping sessions, people sharing Calippos. Like
it's a different vibe though. Like sessions, like I don't think you think you can do this once in a block kind of thing because people can get carried away. I think most people kept there. A few might have run their races on the weekend, but that's the other thing, a bit danger. And like workouts are different to when you go to a community, like a crew run or a shakeout run. You know, that shakeout run, it's like pace doesn't matter. We're just chill. Whereas it's got this like aura of like, oh yeah, this is different. I've got to be in the zone. Yeah, like people timing everything. So, but that said, to get into a pack and do that workout in a marathon block, and you know, the drinks stop, taking the drinks on, getting that focus, like learning or practicing what it's like to be in a pack, is something that, you know, and look about what happens at Melbourne every year, Gold Coast. It's like you go from doing all these sessions to then sharing the road in a group with 50, 40, you know, these big packs, which are going for times, where, yeah, you've got to adjust. You've got to really be diligent and keep to your own pace because someone will surge. And, you know, you don't know. Often you're obviously running with people that they're different paces and they're different styles and they move around. You know, your personal space is interrupt. Like, you just don't get that free run as you do when you're controlling everything.
Mm. I think super valuable. And if I could just see this really taking off, you know, if there's a month out from Gold Coast, maybe a month out from Melbourne.
Yeah.
This could explode. So it could nearly be like a little event where you do have to pay a little entry fee.
Well, the sweet spot is like, I mean, we're a little bit off, you know, thinking Yeah, we have 100 people around Albert Park on like,
Yeah.
we don't want this to be an actual event where we're getting permits to shut the road down or,
No.
someone's yeah, so you've got to be also like weighing that up as to, and maybe there's some staggered times that happen over the course of an event like that. But it's all good things, mate. That's definitely fun.
No, I love it.
Joining us this week on the Better with Running podcast is Lachlan Bromley. He's a senior physiotherapist at Reload Physio, and recently Run to BB has joined forces with Reload with some exciting things in the pipeline. A few things that have already kicked off that we're going to chat about, but also tonight we wanted to bring Lachlan on and just have a bit of a chat about his journey as a physio, what he's done in his career, which has been pretty amazing, and now back in Melbourne treating a lot of runners. So we're going to dig into a bit of a chat about some specific running questions. Welcome to the show, Lachlan.
Thanks so much for having me, gents. It's good to be on the podcast.
And exciting to chat to you. We did reveal earlier that you are newlywed. You've married Kate, who is one of our Run to PB coaches, and we're just saying off air, you were recently just up in Bright doing a bit of training for the Buffalo Stampede. So Kate's obviously got you into the running.
Yeah, mate, I love it. I think I definitely do it more because it's something that we can share together. Albeit we might run at probably different paces for most of the runs, but certainly like the energy to get out on a Sunday morning mostly comes from Kate and I sort of tag along and but no, like I love it. It's a good way to marry up getting out into nature, seeing the hills and getting amongst the trees and stuff, but also have a run and keep fit and that sort of stuff. Yeah, it's awesome.
Stuff.
Yeah, like I'm interested in, like, you obviously with the physio background, you've spent a bit of time abroad doing some pretty cool things, but also locally, you've spent some time with some, I guess, professional sporting teams as well. Would love to know a bit more about that and also some of the things that you've done with British Athletics while you're over in the UK.
Yeah, mate. Like I feel very, very fortunate and grateful for the opportunities that I've had as a sports physio. And like you say, they sort of started in Australia, and so I sort of came out of uni and went into private practice. Maybe like most sports physios would or aspiring sports physios. And then I was working for the Uni Blues and the Uni Blacks, like amateur football clubs. Back in maybe, I don't know, 2013, 14, that sort of time. And from there, found my way down the highway, down to Geelong, and had three really awesome years working with their VFL players in the VFL program. So that was sort of like a part-time role. But that was definitely my first experience of being in a, albeit probably with the VFL guys, like a semi-professional or a sub-elite environment, but at times being able to tip into the AFL stuff and that was a big eye-opener for me of sort of the level that probably not only the players are at, but the staff and the medical staff as well. And then from there, I studied a Master of Sports Physio and was again like lucky enough to get a placement for that master's over in the UK with British Athletics. So made a few contacts there and then that's sort of what opened that door up for me in 2018. And so, yeah, sort of bit the bullet and it was a good time in life. A few things sort of eventuated that getting across there was sort of the right thing to do and good life move, both as in life and for career as well. And had, yeah, four really great years over there. Met my now wife, Kate. But also did some beaut work in both like Olympic, Paralympic, and then sort of futures and pathways, track and field.
Yeah, like obviously from a team sport to that individual, did you notice a few changes there, even in the mindset of some of the athletes, particularly, British athletes going you know, you mentioned pathways, future, trying to make Olympics, and then obviously athletes that had made the teams. Was there some differences?
Yeah, I think it's massive. Like, athletics, I think, is a very unique beast compared to team sports. Like, it sort of necessitates itself to be a reasonable amount more selfish. That there's you sort of there are small teams within the British athletics team, and so you almost have to then tailor your approach to different team members, as you probably would in team sports, but there's less of, you know, everyone's going to train at a different time in athletics. They're going to have different needs and wants, and different coaches with different philosophies on how they work and what's best for an athlete, compared to, say, a football club where the head coach says, this is where we're going to be, this is when we're going to, you know, do X and Y, this is how we're going to do it, this is what we want your role to be. So in some ways that can be easier to fit into one mold compared to track and field, where there are numerous molds, and you sort of have to do little bits and work out what you need to do for each person through different points of the season.
Yeah, I can imagine that'd be a challenging part of working with various coaches and then athletes that are just super motivated that just want to get out there, and the coaches obviously want their athletes back out there. But yeah, those conversations you must have, particularly around, you know, close to competitions, maybe, you know, a couple of weeks out, they're on the edge whether they compete or not. Like, yeah, how do you navigate through that? Like, are you, yeah, that's a tricky
yeah.
one.
Yeah, I think there are definitely difficult conversations in probably any part of healthcare, but certainly in sport, it is no different to that. And hopefully those conversations, like before that needs to happen, hopefully you've got a decent relationship with coach and athlete, and you're able to sort of come to that conversation with like an open mind of I need to take their perspective on board and sort of give my two cents and hopefully chat about it together, so that you all come to the same decision that is both has the health needs of the athlete in mind, but also know that there's a performance standard that has to be met. That we can definitely stop people from getting injured, and we can get people back to running well and healthy, but they might not run fast when they get back, or they might not win a medal. There's definitely athletes that will never get injured, but they're probably not going to be the world's best. I think towing that line is really tricky, but it definitely takes a nice coordinated approach between all members who like have common goals and common theories on how to achieve those goals. And each person can do their little bit. And so my bit as the physio would be having those conversations about, we've seen X and Y clinically. Have you seen something similar on the track? Yes, you have. Okay, let's put those two bits of information together, plus how the athlete is feeling. Yeah, they don't feel that ready either. Okay, now the conversation is starting to evolve.
So, like, do elite athletes, I mean, you know, I suppose us regular people, we do silly things all the time. We probably regret and then present to a physio and go, oh, hey, can you wave your magic wand and fix me? But do elite athletes do dumb things as well? And without throwing anyone under a bus or naming the specific sport that they play or do, because client confidentiality, completely get that. But yeah, is there anything a bit unique or peculiar that raised your eyebrows that you can share with us?
Yeah, like you say, I think elite athletes are, in that respect, similar to us. Like, the health understanding of some elite athletes is the same as it would be for your everyday person. I guess the health literacy. And so if someone is not that aware of their body, hasn't been injured before, then their ability to make decisions off the back of that is definitely no different to the average person. So, yeah, I think like getting to elite status, there's definitely, you know, discipline and dedication, and then probably in some respects obsessiveness, and that's their blessing and that's their curse at the same time. So it's, yeah, it's ignoring symptoms that if they really think about, they go, yeah, probably shouldn't have run that day, probably should have taken 2 days off and cross train, but I've got this coming up, and if I don't, you know, the stakes are too high, and then maybe those 2 days hurt them down the track and cost them 2-4 weeks or something like that. They're probably, so I can't think of anyone in mind, but those are the things that probably spring to mind, is like trying to eke out another 2 or 3 days when really you could save yourself 2-3 weeks on the back end.
Question about strength worth. Chris, he's got the guns. He's a very big advocate of strength work. I've recently got into the gym, so I'm certainly enjoying the benefits. And I probably think now, like, you know, I should have been in the gym 10 years ago, but never too late. Talk to us about some, you know, maybe without going into maybe just broadly that value of the strength work from a physio side, but also, is there any sort of specific training exercises that runners should have? And, you know, I know it's a very individual thing, but some sort of almost, you know, standard things that we should be really looking at, as all runners should be looking at?
Yeah, I think strength training in the running community maybe gets like a slightly bad stigma attached to it, but it's almost attached to like rehab and an injury, and I only strength train either so I don't get injured, or when I am injured, that's what I do to get better and to heal my muscle and get back to the thing that I actually want to do, and that's run on the weekend. Whereas, yeah, that's definitely the case, but I think it also has this massive performance factor to it as well for any level of runner, and particularly those that haven't done strength training before, literally just getting in and moving weight, and it doesn't really matter how you do it, you're going to get stronger. And I think, like, that's, if you're someone that hasn't been in the gym before, that's exciting. Like, you don't have to go too hard, you don't have to do anything special. The basics have been around for hundreds of years because they're things that work. If you see some gimmick on social media that's like the brand new exercise, it's probably brand new because no one's done it in the past, because no one thinks it'll work, or like people have tried and it hasn't worked, so it hasn't stuck around. So yeah, for me, it's like, early on, it's stick to the basics. I'd go after calf strength. I think that's like, if you're going to put anything into the program, put some calf work. Mm. And like, that might start with like some basic endurance loads. But then I think, don't be nervous of adding in some like small little plyometric activities, whether it be some, you know, double leg pogos or some single leg hops, and maybe they're assisted with a band or something like that. But just something to like try and stiffen the calf and the foot complex so that you spend less time on the ground, which does two things. It means that you move across the ground faster, but it also means you sort of absorb less of that load through the whole chain. And so things like knees and calves and Achilles and hips and that sort of stuff, they go through less range and they have, yeah, less load to absorb. So theoretically, it's got a protective factor to it as well. The calves are my first one. And then following that, I'd probably go after like, a big lift in inverted commas. So something like a Romanian deadlift or a squat pattern, basically a hip hinge and a squat. Because then I think you get some quad development, you get some glutes, but you also learn to like stiffen your trunk and stiffen your limbs. And that's exactly what you want to do when you hit the ground when you're running. You want this nice stiff limb that just rebounds along, like the best African marathon runners, like their foot will hit the ground, their ankle won't budge, the knee won't budge, they'll just keep popping along step after step. That's kind of what we want to try and move towards.
I suppose with strength training, I think, would it be fair to say that most people, you know, once again, come steering away from the elite performers, because I guess for the most part, the reason they're elite is unless they're blessed with an enormous amount of natural ability, they're doing everything correct. But most people don't tend to get into strength work until we get a bit older and realize, oh dear, this is, as Zach has said, this is something I should have been doing 10 years ago. For those people, Locke, that are too young to wake up sore in the morning, these are the sort of people that they don't get hangovers. They can party, get 3 hours of sleep, wake up, go and do their long run the next day. But what would your message be to them just to try and, I suppose, help them see the light and start strength work early before being old and crippled like myself and Zaka?
Yeah, mate, the blessed, I say they're the chosen few, but yeah, you're just blessed when you're young, aren't you? I'm probably approaching that stage where I'm starting to get a big hangovers for sure. No, I think if, like, it definitely depends on how much you're running. That would be the first thing. But I think if you can sacrifice one of those running sessions for a strength training stimulus, I think you'll see better benefits in your running from that strength training stimulus. And so if you're someone that has, you know, you run 5 days a week, 6 days a week, so you've got a relatively high frequency, you enjoy a, you know, 5 to 8K jog around Princess Park or something like that. Yeah, I think if you can find a way to fit in some strength into that platform, you give your muscles, your joints, your bones something different to do that enhances their ability to do the running thing that you enjoy and you love. So there's that side of it. The other side, I'd say, that is like equally and maybe more important is especially like more so in a female population compared to males, but it's like is bone health. And I think running is okay for bone health, but it's not great. It's not amazing because the bone sort of gets like it almost gets bored of the run. And so those cells need something different. And strength training is a really good stimulus to improve the density of bones. And so I'd say any women that are either new to running and haven't done much physical activity probably through their teens, it is really important to get out there, train in the gym and build some bone density so that when you get to 5 years into your running, 10 years into your running, that type of stuff, you've got these stronger, thicker bones that are able to hold that load. So yeah, there are benefits like all over the place, but from performance to like to bone health to you know, stiffness through calf, Achilles and foot to make you spring off the ground better. Sacrifice one of those running sessions and get in the gym or do some bodyweight stuff at home.
No, I like that. I was going to say, just around the like that half an hour, you sort of go, well, what's an extra 5 or 6K when you could go and spend 30 minutes at the gym? And that's kind of the thing that's going to, you know, bulletproof your body that, you know, you talk about wanting to do an extra 5 or 6K. Well, if you're consistent in the gym, you can go and probably do an extra 20 or 30K a week down the track.
And it could improve your performance. You know, it's a good chance it's actually perform, as opposed to a rehab kind of mentality of like, this is just going to get me back to running or feeling pain-free. I'm actually going to run better. I'm going to be more efficient. I'm going to be stronger. And it could actually run faster from that gym session as opposed to just thinking a 5-6K run is going to be the bullet.
Yeah, definitely. Like, I think we all sort of fall into that pattern of going, it's easy to just roll out the door, do our 5K, do our 6K, and we sort of have that's the thing that I enjoy. But I reckon if we can find a way to get it into the routine, that yeah, there's that half hour, 40 minute stimulus, you'll reap the benefits. And probably if you haven't done much of it, you'll reap the benefits quickly. Like if you're someone that strength trains a lot, it takes you longer to progress. If you're someone that doesn't do it, 6 weeks later, you'll be like, I feel stronger, I feel a bit fitter, I'm probably a bit faster. And I'm now starting to like enjoy it because it's part of my routine and it doesn't feel that different. I don't have to drag myself either to the gym or to the shed or to my mate's house where I do it or wherever it might be.
Got a question around running specific injuries, haven't we, Chris?
Yeah, so what I'm interested in with this is how injuries evolved over time. Like everything, I guess, changes over time, but with better knowledge around recovery, but also with the advent of super shoes as well, have you seen a shift in sort of some injuries becoming more common? Is that like overuse injuries, maybe it's muscle strains, or people getting injured in different places just with the different technology we have now?
Yeah, mate, it's a really good question. And I think with the super shoes, we are the actual evidence. So like the, the reviews and that sort of stuff is probably lagging behind what we are sort of starting to think about anecdotally. But I think what the shoes are doing is allowing people, if they're wearing them regularly, it's probably allowing people to recover quicker and to run more kilometers. And so that's like great in some respects, but maybe then exposes them to more things like bone stress injuries. So we might be seeing, so I think we're seeing probably average people, and for other reasons, I think people are running more, whether that's a post-COVID thing, whether that's like life in general. I think people are running more, they're running longer, and they've got goals to run faster. And if technology is sort of helping them do all those things and the kilometers are stacking up, then I think, yeah, we are more risk of things like bone stress injuries or overuse injuries like maybe Achilles or proximal hamstring, those types of things. So they're probably the things I think we're seeing a little bit more of, and maybe even like higher up the chain. So when I say higher up the chain, like maybe less foot, ankle, Achilles, calf, if there's someone that wears like a super shoe a lot, and more femur, hip, proximal hamstring, more of those types of things. If they're not someone that wears super shoes, then I think, yes, we're still seeing a bunch of like Achilles tendons are maybe the biggest one, I think, for long distance runners that certainly stop people in their tracks. But yeah, I think that it's, again, like a really good thing that people are out running more and doing more Ks and trying to hit events. And you know, we saw the Melbourne Marathon like sell out in however many hours or days. That's great, but it'll keep me busy for sure.
Yeah, I could imagine. Hey, is there any misconceptions around some like injury prevention? Like, I know you sort of almost touched on the role of some of the impact that social media is having. You know, people seeing things online and seeing what influencers are saying. And is there any sort of things that come across your desk that you just think, oh, what's going on? Like, why are they thinking this is what's being caused by running?
Yeah, like there's, like everything these days, there's so much information out there and you can get it from so many different places, and some are certainly more reputable than others. And I also think like people are trying to push the needle a little bit in terms of what they can expose them to, maybe because they see maybe guys like Ned Brockmans and that type of stuff, incredible athlete, but the nature of sort of getting up at 4 a.m. to run 10Ks or 20Ks, that's awesome when you can go home and recover for 6 hours of the day, do a blog post on it, do some media stuff in the afternoon. I hope Ned never listens to this, but for the person who's then got a, you know, maybe they've got two kids and they've got to work 8 hours a day and they've got to do the school drop-offs and the afternoon sports trainings and that sort of stuff, perhaps getting up at 4 a.m. and running 10Ks is not for them. So I think that's the real sort of tricky spot that we're in, that people want to do all these amazing things and sure, like have big hairy goals that scare you a little bit, but have a really like progressive and succinct plan that gets you towards them. And hopefully that's where guys like yourself come in. But yeah, like plan for those goals rather than going, yep, I'm going to do that next week. That's probably the biggest, hopefully, thing that starts to change a little bit in the near future.
Yeah, that new runner that's probably not respecting the time at the crease as runners. It just this, and often you get this spike where, you know, maybe a COVID runner, they come out, they absolutely smash out some park runs, see a big drop, you know, in their times, but then continue to sort of push, expecting there's going to be these bigger drops. And when you're forcing it, not listening to your body, it can, yeah, you can end up in a bit of strife.
No doubt. Like, and I think that was definitely me when I was like probably running through my mid-20s, and I really enjoyed running. I probably thought I'm going to get faster and I'm going to try and run faster each run to get faster. And to be fair, I'll probably give Kate some credit here. Kate probably pulled me back a little bit and goes, don't worry about running fast. Just be consistent. Just get out there 3-4 days a week and just run and enjoy it and just stack that up for 12 months and then see how you feel and what you can do. And I think, yeah, like you say, like, time in the game, and it doesn't take long, but it's just consistent, like good effort. Doesn't have to be spectacular every time you walk out the door. Good effort will get you there, definitely.
Look, I've got a question. This is probably more based around athletes who don't necessarily know their bodies that well. But when should athletes push through discomfort or rest, and what are some of the factors that can help them determine these calls, I guess, on their own before they seek help?
Yeah, like, awesome question. And like, but I think a physio probably, like, I have that own battle in my mind some days as well. And I think most niggles or most like small complaints that we might pick up from running, and maybe we've gone a little bit hard, or maybe we've run after sitting at a desk for 8 hours and then our hips are a bit jacked up or whatever. I would think most of those within 48 to 72 hours, you should be starting to at least feel better. You should be on the right track. You might not be like, yeah, I'm back to 100%, but at least you can say confidently to yourself, I'm much better than I was 2-3 days ago. I think if you get 3 days down the track and you go, do you know what? I'm no better. And actually if I run today, I'm going to be sore. Then I think I'm interested in catching up and having a chat. And so I think if you don't know what you've got going on and it's not better in 2-3 days, then I think start to ask like why and maybe get some help with that. If it's something that you've either seen someone for or you're like familiar with what's going on and you know the reason that you're sore 3 days down the track, perhaps your coach or your physio said you know, to try and stay away from running up hills. And one day you were out of the Danny Nongs and you just thought, fuck, I'm going to do it. Then you've got a reason and you can give that longer. You can give that 5, 7, 10 days, but at least you know in the back of your mind, yeah, I've done the wrong thing. That's my reason for it. There's less of a question mark there. Does that make sense? Does that answer that question?
Yeah, that's good. Thank you.
Hey, Lachlan, I want to talk about Reload Physio. I know we sort of started chatting late last year about, joining forces, and obviously the connection with Kate is fantastic. But also Marcus Payne, you're the boss, who's also a very keen runner himself. I think he's done nearly all the majors. I feel like he's done over 20 marathons, done some ultras in the background. He's a coach himself, run coach himself. Their Reload, I'm just seeing that it was, yeah, talk about time at the crease, 2004, Marcus and his wife, Melissa, opened their first practice in Sydney Road in Coburg, Victoria. Now over at the premises that you're at now on Sydney Road, Brunswick.
Yep.
Beautiful fit out. If you jump on their website, was it 2020? They had a big Big overhaul. It's got it's talk about like a beautiful space, you know. It's, you can see from the images, and if you go in there, yeah, it's sort of large Pilates and exercise studio. You got the rehab gym in there. The amount of services that are on offer at Reload is it's pretty full on. Like just seeing that you've got the whole gamut there. Like it's a bit of a one stop shop with the strength and rehab, the gym, wellness. You got dietitian in there. So yeah, I guess take us through a little bit about with Reload, you know, day to day, what are you sort of your clients are seeing from a running perspective? Because I know you've got a running sort of specific area that you guys are doing a bit in the technique space. Yeah. What do some of those consults look like?
Yeah, no, like, thanks. That's nice to hear that there's good things about the clinic. I really enjoy working here. We've got like a really great team of physios, and it's a fun environment to work in. We've got physios that come from lots of different backgrounds and bring different experiences, and that sort of that makes the team really well rounded. Like you say, I'm really lucky to have the space that we've got with a nice real sort of S&C type studio, a big gym space upstairs. And then we use some like strength testing equipment. So we've got the Axit software and hardware that like force plates and dynamometry, so we can get really good objective measures of strength of not just athletes, but like sort of older, younger individuals, and try and benchmark or make sure we're seeing progress in things that we think are important there, either rehab or performance. You mentioned like the running assessments. So typically they're sort of, the average assessment might be sort of an hour, come in, have a chat, basically just for us to find out a little bit about your running history, your running background, why you run, what your goals are, and then like any niggles or things that are stopping you from running or stopping you from progressing with your running. And then from there, it kind of is this hopefully quite tailored and individual approach that says, okay, we want to have a look at these things in the physio room. So maybe some mobility tests, or we might look at size of calves or like muscle mass type stuff. And then head out of the clinic room and either do some of that strength testing I've chatted about before, or jump onto the treadmill and start to have a look at how the person runs, to start to put a few pieces to the puzzle together to say, you're presenting with this niggle, let's say Achilles tendon niggle, and what we see on the treadmill is that quite a toey runner, and when we look at your ankle mechanics, we see that you really lack the ability to get your knee over your toe to be able to dorsiflex your ankle. And when we test your calf strength is quite low. So all these pieces sort of coming together, we start to develop this picture that goes, if we can affect these changes, we hope that either your symptoms decrease or your running improves, whatever your goal might be. That first session is really like a fact-finding session to go, let's try and get as much information as we can to help guide us onto like the best intervention for that person. Send them away with the intervention, and then let's review and make sure it's doing what we want it to do, doing what it says on the label.
No, I love that. I think it's very specific around the running, like the overall a holistic approach. And yeah, I think a lot of benefit there for athletes to get on board with that. I know we're going to be sending out an email to Run to BB athletes just announcing this partnership this week. There's an offer available for them. There's also another cool thing that you guys have set up is an email address that anyone can send through just for like a general advice that kind of filters back it's set up specifically for Run to PB athletes, and it goes through to your running team, and then it's I guess shared to our coaches. So we get that three-way approach, and from that, you know, we can take things further. So that's a pretty cool little added service. But the other exciting thing is that is launched is the Reload Run to PB sessions that are going down at Princess Park last Tuesday of every month. A bit of in-person training taken by Kate Avery. I know you've been spotted in a few images, putting your head down there, doing a few sessions. So that happens at Princess Park. There's obviously the Reload Run Club that happens through the week. And yeah, there's a number of details on our website about that. But you know, Run to PB athletes get an opportunity to at least once a month come down and join some other athletes and jump in for some sessions. But they're also open to looking via the Reload program, joining them for a lot, you know, for other sessions, and obviously works in with our coaches who can program them in. So I know Kate's having a lot of fun doing those ones.
Yeah, mate, it's been great. Like I think most runners will say like it's better running with other people. Like there's definitely a social side of it, and I know personally, like I feel better doing a session if I've got people in front of me and behind me and around me, and I think so. That side of it is a really nice factor to the group, and yeah, we try and keep the group pretty relaxed. It's a social group that looks to, like, you know, train well. So yeah, we'll catch up. There's Tuesday and Thursday morning sessions at 6 a.m. and then Tuesday evening at 6:30 p.m. And typically it'll be, you know, a couple of K warm up. We'll do some drills, and then we'll get into some sort of interval session that will try and be quite different each time. And then a bit of a cool down. It's a great group that we've got down there, and I know Kate's enjoying leading it, and Marcus and I are sort of really enjoying staying amongst it or getting amongst it for sure.
Yeah, I was going to say it must be great as putting your physio hats on when you're there as well, like seeing your clients, seeing runners just in the wild, and actually, yeah, seeing the movement and being able to, I guess, have feedback and talk about their running and get a sense of what's actually happening out there outside the clinic.
Yeah, for sure. That's probably the benefit of this like relationship for us as a clinic, is that it gives us somewhere, like we get these runners that come through that perhaps either are writing the plans themselves or have grabbed a, you know, a random plan off the internet and maybe just needing a bit more of a personalized, individualized approach. So it gives us somewhere that we can send people to people that we trust and have a good communication with, and open sort of email lines and phone calls and that sort of stuff. And so use Run to PB that way. And then the Run Club is a nice sort of avenue, to keep people in touch with like the running community. So they feel like they've got hopefully an avenue to explore their running in ways that they hadn't thought of before, that keeps them excited about their running and gives them different options.
Mm. I love it. We'll have all that. It's actually, there's a page on our website. It's got all the details. There's details on your website reload.physio/reload run club. So we're going to put some socials out. You won't miss it. There'll be emails going around. And then I know in the pipeline, you've mentioned you're going to get Kate involved, maybe with some clips on some strength and some basic tips that we're going to release down the track, and maybe looking at some specific programs for some events coming up, including running assessments, which will be pretty exciting and something new we're keen to try.
Yeah, I think there's a nice space there that, like, people, I feel like people are wanting more, and hopefully that there's a nice little package that we can throw together that gives people a little bit of a taste of both worlds, and hopefully services different needs that each runner has, and creates this like nice well-rounded program that is specific to them based on what they need to get out of, you know, each service.
Stay tuned for that. We really appreciate you jumping on tonight. It's been very informative. We've learned a lot. And I think, yeah, just having Reload on board, it's going to be exciting times ahead.
It's been fantastic. I really enjoyed it. Thanks, fellas.
Thanks, mate.
Catch soon. Thanks. How good was that, mate? Fantastic to hear from Lachlan. And I know we're going to be getting him on more regularly throughout 2024. We've got some topics that we're going to cover. I know we were chatting beforehand that we're going to go down a few rabbit holes with Lachlan on some real running specific, but also some listener and athlete questions that we'll be able to sort of attack.
Yeah, no, I'm looking forward to that. I think we're very blessed to have someone of Lachlan's knowledge in the community mixed with obviously Kate and her ability as not only as a coach, but as an athlete as well. So looking forward to hearing from both of them later on the year.
Yeah, and it's cool having an option for, you know, obviously it's Vic based and Melbourne based, but it's an option that we'll look to, you know, potentially expand through the year if we can and, do some other small in-person events that we can bring the community together, just give people a chance if they do want to catch up and utilize that run club. No, hey, mate, sure. I know earlier you asked a question around some of the athletes doing dumb things as, you know, whether Lachlan had come across some, but before we wrap up, it's been a little while between drinks or Calippos, we should say. The Canadian running magazine, front page. Of course, you know, they're covering, even though it's Canada, we're still covering the US trials. But but their main big article there was news of a big event that wrapped up at the end of January, the Strava Challenge.
Mate, page one might have been the US trials, but this is page two. And obviously with the feature headline as well. So we know that there's sections of the community that enjoy Strava and it's all good. You could do some competitive things. There's different groups you can join. There's different challenges, but you know, you've got a pretty epic challenge when it makes Canadian running magazines. So you're familiar with Chipotle?
Yeah, I am. Yeah. Well, I've had last time I was in the States, got involved. I had some in Chicago, I think.
Nice.
Yes, bit of a cult following, isn't it?
Very very popular chain over there, and
they do a pop up in Sydney or something.
I think that sounds right. Oh, I haven't fact checked that, but it does sound right.
Could have dreamt it, mate. Could have made it up, but
possibly. It sounds legitimate. It's something that they do, but. Mate, the team at Chipotle, they've gone out and they've created a Strava segment challenge for January. Now,
the marketing gurus got together.
They've come together, and we love when food and exercise come together because believe me, there's a lot of us that run just so that we can eat whatever we want. But Chipotle set it up so that whoever did the most segments on their Strava segment, they were going to get free lifestyle bowls for a year from Chipotle. So they set up a segment 300 meters long and just said, have at it, guys. Let's see what you can do. And it was set up across 6 American cities. So you weren't just confined to one restaurant or one locale. But, mate, there was one man that came out on top. You got some numbers for me. Break it down. Hey,
this was impressive. I mean, it's impressive that you get yourself up every day to do this over the course of a month. Segments for 280 meters, and it's slightly, well, it's in downtown Washington D.C. So
busy,
not quite busy. A place. Yeah, it's like going down Flinders Street. Or down 200 meters, just lining up and just going bang, and mate, he did. Over the course of a month, he did 385 kilometers on that 280 meters.
Just on that segment.
That works out to be about 44 attempts per day. So he's rolling 12K along that 200 meters, 280 meter segment every day for the month.
Just backwards and forwards, backwards and forwards all day. Well, not all day, but
people must have been thinking, what's this guy? Yeah, you've got a shop or business along there, and you just keep saying, we should name him Joshua Bauer, who he's gone into the Hall of Fame on Strava. He's got the win, but mate, he had came down to the wire, didn't it?
Mate, it sure did. And this is what shocks me, because I'm thinking, you know, surely Josh is probably running pro hours or something just to be able to get down there and get it done. But so Blake Rinke, runner up. Blake's a 30-year-old aerospace engineer. So when I talk about Blake's not sitting at home.
Well, he probably should be doing more stuff.
I think Blake's got more important things to do. But in Blake's spare time, he likes to go and hang out the front of Chipotle and wear the footpath out. So, and he wasn't beaten by much. So Josh completed 1,345 segments of this thing that they've set up. Blake, 1,292. So he's only 53 segments behind. And apparently they would often cross paths on the short segment as well, to the point where they almost become rivals, because everyone was actually taking it seriously. So this is what Blake's been interviewed for the newspaper. So he's spoken with the Washington Post. Local.
The Washington Post.
Yeah, this isn't some like the Washington Daily that you know you find in your mailbox for free once a week. This is the Washington Post. Like, this is a major, major publication that's picked this up. But yeah, Blake goes on to add that no one really made eye contact. We just trailed each other, and after each stoplight, then we all started following each other on Strava and commenting and liking each other's posts. So it stayed relatively civil. But the Washington DC was the most pot, like the Chipotle segment there was the most popular of the six cities chosen for the challenge, which, look, doesn't say much for the extracurricular activities available in the nation's capital in January. But
I think all the other cities just gone now. Yeah, it's probably not worth me doing this for Chipotle every day. Like,
But get this. So, look, just running the same segment that often, and it's a short one, would be boring enough. But even though the segment was slightly downhill, it had a stoplight in the middle. So on each attempt, runners faced the possibility of being forced to stop their watch and wait for the light to change as well. Oh,
you wouldn't want to stop and not restart.
Oh, imagine that. Like, imagine multiple laps just blown out of the water because you got stopped to the lights. So, yeah.
Imagine doing your regular easy run, though, as you know, you're doing 12K, doing 5K of that loop. Just, yeah, that's, well, yeah, I don't know, mate. Maybe would you go for a year supply of Calippos?
Oh. That's, you know, what's a year's supply like? Is that, are you going to furnish me with just one box a week? Like, I can eat a lot of Calippos in summer, but maybe not so many in winter. So, yeah, like that'd have to be negotiable. But I couldn't imagine you going to Al and saying, hey, this 6x K that we've got on the plan, just wondering if we could turn that into like 24x250. Yeah, I'm just going to pop down to Chipotle and just do it at the front. There's a bit of a contest that I'm kind of interested in winning. Like, yeah, or even just like, I know we love getting out to Lister Field. Sometimes Albert Park's really good. Yarra Trail's magnificent. Got a different loop. I'd love to go down to Chipotle. And we're going to do 2 hours out in front of Chipotle, just backwards and forwards. That'd be just, you'd get excommunicated from the group, I would have thought.
Yeah, it's...
Like, could you imagine Kiwi Steve coming down and going, hey, like, there's a new ice cream van, you know, down on the boulevard that if we, you know, the people who do the most laps, it's, you know, free ice cream for a year, then you're like, well, perhaps you're on your own here. Like, it's just, yeah, even if they had goody goody gumdrops, it's just, no, not for a loop of 280 meters.
I actually think Somehow I've landed on the Reddit post or something, but there was another one of the other ones.
Somehow.
One in Colorado. We'll have to come back to this next week because this guy's saying he did 442 miles, 62 hours, 1,041 to get the chocolate. So I think their segment was like 5K. So, yeah. So I guess, yeah, making the 280 meter one is a lot easier than a 5K segment.
Right, that's
I don't know. Are we going to see a spike in these sort of promos coming to Australia, to Melbourne, mate?
Imagine a cross collab with a Backyard Ultra.
Yeah.
The possibilities. I know, and you've got your marketing hat on right now, and I think you can imagine the possibilities. It's frightening, and it's not something that we should entertain. but just think.
Think of the possibilities. All right, mate. I think we've it's ticked over 9 o'clock. We're starting to go down.
In case anyone couldn't tell.
I've read it up, so things can't be go south from there. Good to chat again, mate. Good luck on the week. Good luck on Friday night, the Frenzy. Hopefully the weather is nicer than your previous 5K where you were missing lung or what did you say? You looked like you were in a rotisserie of a chicken shop.
Yeah, no, it was the old rotisserie chicken. Those are people who absolutely love their barbecue chook. Might head down to Coles or Woolies, or I know charcoal chicken's very popular here in Shepparton. No, that was essentially me, just dark brown in colour and absolutely cooked right through to the core. So, hopefully we can avoid that. Maintain a bit of dignity at the finish. It would be nice not to have the need to lay down.
Yeah, I think you'll be right. I think it's only 22 odd in Melbourne on the Friday, so windy maybe, but I think it gets a bit hotter next week. So, yes, good luck, mate. Enjoy. We'll get the recap next week.
Yes, no, looking forward to next week. Elise,
we got Elise back.
Elise,
and she's gonna be, gosh,
she'll be in taper.
Yeah, into 2 weeks to go.
Mm-hmm.
2 weeks. Wowie. I know. There's a spicy session potentially on the table. I got a message from her today about what's on the cards. So I know we touched on it earlier. Massive session at Albert Park. I think she's got another one to tick off before we're into taper. So we'll be hearing how that all unfolds.
So she didn't greet you with a boss or a champ, did she?
Don't think so.
Not this time.
No, I think she was on her best behavior there, but
very good.
Definitely was mowing down the Calippos at the end.
Very good.
Good stuff, mate. We'll chat next week.
Will do.
See ya.